Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
That one hit well to left. Welcome to Houston, Trey Mancini.
Welcome to Crush City, Trey Mancini. That's how you introduce yourself to a new ball club.
That was awesome. Trey Mancini with the two-run homer after Kyle Tucker bunts his way on. And Kyle Tucker, listening to Phil Garner yesterday morning, I believe,
yeah,
goes the other way.
Everybody
and looks
but Yordan was hitting yesterday.
Everybody. What a game. I mean, Altuve with another four-hit game. The 34th of his career, tying Biggio for most four-hit games in Astros history. And we'll hear from him about that. Trey Mancini, new to the team. Well, Vasquez didn't hit yesterday. He and Yordan didn't hit. I would have loved to have seen Vasquez get some hits, but he didn't. But, you know, it's so funny. Well, he's got to learn the pitching staff. Not that it's overblown what a catcher does, but if the guy is throwing really – or Keady, apparently he doesn't need Maldonado. Did you see him yesterday, Urquidy? My guy, Urquidy? Yeah, you're trying to trade him, and I'm saying no, you can't trade this guy. He's the third best starter on this
you
team.
You wanted him gone. You said Josh Bell or death.
No.
And here's Trey Mancini.
No, you, Italian, for years.
An Italian hitting home runs, and you wanted Josh Bell?
Oh, no.
On this, your daughter's wedding?
No, we got us an Italian from Baltimore. It's a great Italian
Baltimore
city.
That's how they say it, Baltimore.
Baltimore. We got him from Baltimore, and oh my goodness, is he listen to him after the game with Julian? I can't the smile.
I was very happy to hit the home run. They tried to come inside and sneak a slider by me, but they paid the ultimate price when I hit it into an official sleep. Maybe they learn a lesson next time not to try and bring it inside on the inner portion of the plate on a Trey Mancini.
It's offensive to do an Italian.
That was okay. RJ was playing sound.
No, that wasn't sound. That was you, being offensive to Italians right there. And I'm offended. I'm very offended by it. Here is the real Trey Mancini, after the game with Julia Morales.
Thanks so much with one of the newest Astros, Trey. And what a game for you to be a part of, your first start, of course, for the Astros. But in that first at-bat today, going deep into the Crawford boxes, what's the feeling in that moment?
It was a great feeling. One of the better moments of my baseball career, for sure. I was really excited. I'm so happy to be here. And the fans have treated me so nicely and so great these past couple days. And the guys have been so welcoming. So I already feel at home and couldn't be happier to be here.
How about
he lost his accent?
No, he doesn't have an accent.
Since he's
Italian
been in the country,
accent. He's America.
Is.
Listen, this dude. I mean, the smile on his face, the happiness to be out of Baltimore. One of the great things he said yesterday or the day before in his press conference was, "This is the first time I've ever been in first place this late in the season. It's awesome. I am so happy." You got to play this guy. Now he sat Yuli yesterday. Play this guy in left field. Play Tucker in right. Whatever in center. Play Yuli at first. Yordan DH.
We may be in a world where, frankly, there's already whispers about. We may be in a world where there's no, where we've seen our last Uncle Mike, or maybe until the playoffs.
We don't know. Yeah.
And if that's the case, I mean, major shoulder injury in 16 on the same shoulder that apparently is bothering him right now, and it's gone way longer than expected. That's a concern. Mancini's got some pop. I mean, you know, 20-plus home run guy, and they've Baltimore is a longer stadium now. It's a bigger stadium, so it's a little harder to hit home runs, so the numbers aren't the same. But this is a tale as old as time, potentially, where a guy, my favorite player of all time, Cesar Cedeño, was a late add by the St. Louis Cardinals. Traded for him from the Reds. Astros traded him to the Reds for Ray Knight. Reds traded him to the Cardinals in 86 when they made their big World Series run. And Cedeño was hitting okay with the Reds and then hit like 400 with the Cardinals. It's not unusual for a player to just catch new life. Randy Johnson, there's thoughts that, you know, his numbers were just ridiculous in the Astrodome with the Astros. But there have been other hitters. You know, it wouldn't be crazy if Trey Mancini ended up giving the Astros new life offensively.
Well, what, last year, Eddie Rosario that was heroic.
That's exactly right.
I mean, who the hell is this? And he saw this coming. He went nuts.
Yeah, who saw this coming? So, it, you know, let's hope that that continues to happen, because we know that this offense is dragging way behind previous Astros offenses. And if you can get that bat in the lineup, whether it's in left field, whether it's in first base, you know, Yuli has not been bad in July and into August. He's not been bad. So maybe we will see Yuli at first and Mancini in left and Yordan in left or at DH. Or frankly, it might really look more like Yordan in left and Mancini DHing. That could be what we see as well, because Yordan might be a better left fielder than Mancini.
I mean, I think this...
He's got a good arm. He's got...
Yeah, but you don't want...
I think he's faster.
I don't think you want him out there every day.
No.
Here's the thing, too, is that Yordan's hand is still an issue, and so you've got to rest him, but you've got a bat now. You've got Vasquez's bat that can DH, too. You can play Mancini in left field. You center field, whatever. If Uncle Mike does come back, you can put Tucker in center. You've got Brantley. You can play all of these guys. I'm worried about Uncle Dusty, Pawpaw, how he's going to handle it, because Diaz has been awesome. It's going to be hard to get him out of the lineup. He got a couple more hits yesterday. He has been really good of late. But batting him fifth and Mancini seventh was a little disrespectful to Trey Mancini, who is the guy in Baltimore, and now all of a sudden he's hitting seventh and not sure how much he's going to play. Yeah, you're a little disrespectful. That's all I'm saying.
He's not – Dan, he's from – people in Baltimore call it Baltimore. He's not from Voldemort, and we're not talking about Voldemort.
No, it's not Voldemort.
Voldemort did not – stop being a Harry Potter nerd. We're talking about Baltimore. Mel Kiper says it. That's how you should say it, because he's from that area.
Well, you don't even know what North Dakota State calls their team. You don't even know it.
Not the Bisons?
It's not the Bisons.
What are they?
The Bison.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're the Bison.
You still call him Roy Oswalt.
No, I don't call him Roy. You still call him Tony Dorsett.
you still say Hakeem Olajuwon.
Instead of... It's not
Hakeem. Actually, it's not. It's still Hakeem.
It's still Hakeem. You're right. Yes. You're right. You know why I do that? Because that's correct.
You know, a lot of people started trying to put the H on it. Don't put the H on it. Hakeem.
No, but people do. They put the H on it. No question. Well, what about Altuve, too? Altuve catching four more hits. He's up to 280. I told you he was going to hit 300 before the season was over, and it could well happen.
He's not catching 20 more points.
Yeah, he's catching 20 more points. Don't worry about it. In 2 months, I'm not worried about my guy. That's my guy. And he, after the game, Jose Altuve was pretty darn happy.
Jose, you tied Craig Biggio, four-hit games. How does that kind of hit you when you hear that?
Yeah, like I said before, every time my name is mentioned next to Craig Biggio, I feel honored. I have a lot of respect for him, and obviously he's a Hall of Fame, and he had a really good career, and just happy.
You're still chasing that five-hit game, though. You were on deck there, so is it kind of amazing that you haven't had five hits yet?
You know, baseball is what it is, and I thought I have a chance today to go out there and try, but, you know, Devon got a good man dry. I thought it would be a base hit, but, you know, maybe just another day.
That's Jose Altuve after the game. He's so good. I just that guy. He is just a good person. And yes, I know that, Art. He is a good person. You see him out in public, and the dude is my wife. My wife saw, he can't be more amenable to fans, nicer to fans, and everything else. He just is. He is a great superstar here in the city, and it just sucks that the other cities, the way they treat him.
Yeah,
it sucks.
That's one that I just don't get over, because it's so unfair. I think it matters to Altuve.
It does matter.
And everybody in baseball knows that they got it wrong, that the other fans. But because he had to go out, it started, frankly, because he was one of the first ones the Astros had go out and make a public statement. And it should have been Correa from the very beginning, because Correa knows how to handle it. And if you wanted to boo Correa, Correa didn't
get it. He and Bregman both handled it very – Bregman handled it the worst.
Bregman
– But it was the buzzer thing that John Boy started.
I think it was both of them, because, frankly, you look at the amount of people who are on Twitter. There's a finite amount. The amount of people who would have seen him on SportsCenter or whatever were Jose Altuve, who the Astros weren't even allowed to comment on it. They weren't allowed to say anything on it. What could Jose Altuve said? They really put him in a bad position. Yeah. It frankly should have been somebody who was better equipped to do it, or somebody from the from the actual organization and not a player. And Bregman was not a good representative. And Altuve was just not something the Astros should have done. And I think being forced to be the first voice that everyone heard, Jose Altuve was the first one at spring that everyone heard, and he was not remorseful or apologetic, because you can't be remorseful or apologetic. They're in the middle of fact finding. It was strictly a do not comment on this situation, basically. And then, you tag that with the stupid John Boy buzzer stuff, which was a complete fabrication based on a troll who he believed. John Boy's gone completely off that thing. In fact, he's like, Jose Altuve did nothing. Jose Altuve should not be booed. You fans need to stop booing him. I think he realizes, and I think John Boy's embarrassed, that he basically got ball-sack sports by somebody claiming to be Carlos Beltran's niece. I mean, that's got to be embarrassing for somebody who has their own media company now, that they got fooled by a fake person on Twitter. That's going to be embarrassing. But you add it all up, and as soon as one fan base boos Jose Altuve, that's just the thing now. And you got people booing Jose Altuve.
That's stupid.
No beef with Jose Altuve. And it really sucks, because, as you said, he might be the most prolific and down-to-earth superstar that the city has ever seen in my entire life of living here. I don't know of anyone who's been more down-to-earth and prolific.
Agreed. I haven't seen it here. He is awesome. Love that guy. And everything good that happens to him, it is awesome. All right. When we come back, he wasn't always awesome, though, to Jose Urquidy. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, you've got some insurance to talk.
Let's talk about TGS Insurance and how you get there. How do you shop for new homeowners insurance? Well, you can get on the phone and you can wait and press 1 for this, press 2 for that, press 3 for that, hold through the music, and then an automated, system. And then eventually you get to a person and you do it all over again two more times. And you're like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I've taken up an hour and a half of my time to get three quotes. And you may save, and there's a very good chance you're going to save money. Because once you start the process of shopping for homeowners insurance, that's when you start the process of putting more of your own money back in your pocket. But you can get A-rated insurance without, you can shop without having to do it yourself, without having to stay on the phone. TGS Insurance says, text the word money to 232323, and we will shop a variety of A-rated insurances. Not three, but a huge sum of A-rated insurance companies, and we will provide you within 15 seconds the best rate we can find, and you can compare it against what you're paying right now. They're not asking you to sacrifice your coverage. They simply want to put more of your hard-earned money back in your pocket. So this is a way for you to make money simply by shopping for a competitive rate. Text the word money to 232323. That's TGS Insurance.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Houston.
Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, you know, we're talking about Jose Altuve being a great guy. He really hasn't been a great guy to Jose Urquidy the last few days. He was giving him the, hey, you're going to be traded. Or he was, hey, have you been traded? Apparently, he's been giving him the business. And even after the trade deadline, he went up to Julia Meraz and says, Jose Urquidy was traded. And she goes, the trade deadline's over.
That's hilarious.
And so he's been giving Urquidy the business about being traded. And, of course, Urquidy was not traded. But after the game, Urquidy was kind of, he's kind of happy that the trade deadline is over.
Yeah, for sure. I'm more calm right now. Days ago, I was like, oh, what's going to happen with me? Where I'm going to be? But right now, I feel more comfortable. And I'm very grateful for being here in this team.
That's
think about that. I think Washington screwed up. I think the Josh Bell stuff, if Urquidy was ever in conversations with Washington, I think they really screwed up because they had – They had an opportunity to move Josh Bell for peace. Now, listen, the Juan Soto and Josh Bell, they were combined, for those who don't know, they were combined in the Padre deal. But I'm telling you right now, they got four of their top five prospects. So yeah. if the Padres system is any good at all, and I know Abrams is supposed to be a really good player, they got their top pitching prospect, they got their top shortstop, they got their top outfielder, like – they got three of their top four prospects.
If Click gave up 3 years of Urquidy on arbitration for 2 months of Josh
Bell,
that
never made sense.
I would have been nuts.
You would have had to have re-signed. Like, a deal with Bell would have had to have been imminent. You can't give up a guy like Urquidy with that kind of quote unquote, you know, club control basically. And a starting pitcher for a rental, like you cannot just
no sense at all.
But I do wonder if maybe Rizzo misplayed it and he had to include Josh Bell as part of the deal just to get one more really good minor leaguer out of the Padres, because four minor leaguers and no now starters on the roster, is maybe that's the way they want to go. But that, for a lot of people, that didn't feel like enough for Josh Bell. But Josh Bell, once you let a guy get to rental territory, your leverage goes way, way down.
Oh, yeah. No. When it's just a rental. Way absolutely. Down. Absolutely.
And when every sport. In yeah. every sport, yes, your absolutely. Leverage goes way, way down.
So one of the best byproducts of what happened is that, and we talked about this before, and I've been saying, one of the most important things about this thing is that Justin Verlander be happy. And it's kind of a big deal that he be happy, because he's got this $25 million player option. Is he hit 130 innings yet? Whatever the case may be, he's going to hit 130 innings. And now all of a sudden the player option kicks in at 130 innings. And, you know, is he going to re-sign here? Well, he's got to be happy with the organization if he's going to re-sign here. He's got to know that everybody is all in. And here he is talking about the moves that the Astros made before the deadline.
You know, I think we definitely addressed some areas of need and made our team better. I think I've heard nothing but great things about the acquisitions, the guys themselves, which is important for us because we have a lot of great team camaraderie, and our locker room culture is important to us. And I think these guys are already fitting right in, and hopefully you're going to be great for us on the field as well.
You know, it is ultimately it's going to be money that's going to have to speak for Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
You know,
but he's also got to want to be here.
Yeah, and I don't see why.
If the team isn't all in.
But I think Justin Verlander proved he wanted to be here in the offseason, because I don't think most of us thought Justin Verlander was going to be an Astro, and yet deal got done.
Yeah.
We knew there was, and you know this for a fact, there were Astros who were not happy that he wasn't around. When he was injured, and didn't want him, you know, taking any of the shine away by throwing a first pitch. Like, that's a pretty big deal. I thought that would have been a game ender, and yet here he is pitching for the Astros. So he does have an opt-out, a player option after this year. If and when he opts out, he could command in the neighborhood of $40 million plus a year, because that's how he's pitching. He's pitching like a $40 million pitcher, especially if it's a two-year deal. Not a five and not a 10, but a two-year deal at $80 million, it is not out of the question relative to the contracts that are out there right now in baseball, especially for pitchers. But wanting to be here is an important thing. I heard from somebody yesterday, I'll tell you off the air who it was, that the Astros locker room has maybe is hurting a little bit from losing George Springer and Carlos Correa. The personalities is starting to take a toll on you don't have the life of the party, so to speak, the energy, the heartbeat of the team. You know, we always wondered if that would be the case when we used to have the conversations about if it had to be Springer or Correa. And now that it's both of them, it's not crazy that maybe there's not the same energy level for, you know, maybe it's not the same for guys like Yuli or for guys like Alex Bregman who have been here for these runs. Maybe the energy in the clubhouse or, you know, the guys who were the heartbeats of the clubhouse, it can take a toll. And that's why Justin Verlander mentioned about the clubhouse dynamic. Justin Verlander just mentioned it.
Well,
sound,
he
how
said how
it
good it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but he said it's important to bring that in.
Which contradicts your report.
Well, I don't think the clubhouse is bad. I don't. That's not what I'm saying. I think some of the energy that you have, you can have a good clubhouse. I don't think people are necessarily clicky or whatever, but there is a difference between having one that gets along and a bunch of good guys versus the guys that make it fun, make it the club Astros right. party. And all that stuff.
Well, you'll remember, too, that George Springer wanted to unify. He wanted to speak Spanish to unify the clubhouse.
And Bregman
Correa
followed,
does.
Bregman followed,
Bregman followed too. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, it's probably a little cliquish with, you know, the Spanish-speaking
guys.
And that
happens. But have you seen, George is beloved in Toronto. Not a surprise. Guess who else is beloved? Carlos?
Yeah.
By the Twins, Carlos playing his ass off.
Yep.
Carlos is beloved in Minnesota, and he made a comment about how important it was for he was excited about the moves that the team made as well. These guys pay attention.
Yeah.
We know Dallas Keuchel was upset when the Astros didn't make a move back in back in 17, and then they eventually did with Justin Verlander. But
it's deflating for the team.
Yeah.
And so that is, it's awesome to hear Justin Verlander and. He talked about Jim Crane as well. Here's Justin Verlander talking about the owner, which is kind of a big deal.
You know, I mean, that's important. I think hearing Jim say things like, go get what you need and take care of business, that's important. I mean, that's what, you know, winning culture starts at the top. And, if you didn't have somebody like that who's willing to go spend money and put a good product on the field, then we wouldn't be in the position that we're in. So I think everybody in this locker room is very appreciative of being able to play for him.
Spend money, do what you need. Justin's subliminally telling you these are all good signs for me in the offseason.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely a good sign.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a good sign. So there were some weird things that went on in that game yesterday. First of all, Will Smith came in and gave up the home run, although it was – It was a Crawford box special, a sky high one that lands in the first couple of rows.
Wouldn't have been a home run anywhere else.
That's not a home run, but it was a home run here. Did you see Kyle Tucker's the catch that was made
on Kyle Tucker?
On Kyle Tucker.
You mean where the guy went up and
up
over
the, up the stands?
Like, oh, wait a minute. Let me just park down here. I saw it late, so I was coming home from my from a physical. I had to go to a doctor yesterday, and my dad called me to tell me about it.
He said,
I just saw something I've never seen before.
He climbed up in the stands and then came down and then caught the ball on the warning track. Alex Verdugo, who is a chotch. You see his gold chains and he's wearing all kinds of jewelry outside of his.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, come on, really, Alex Verdugo?
Well, that's just Siri, basically.
Yeah. No, right. I mean, but, well, he's not. Yeah. Okay. He's not Siri. He doesn't have Siri style. Okay. But he goes up into the stands. And then, I mean, there was so much crap going on yesterday. Yordan's fourth strike at bat.
Yeah, that was crazy, too.
I was watching, and I'm like, I didn't notice it. I noticed the first strike that was called on him was kind of Yordan backed up, and it was high. It looked like it was high and tight, but he called it a strike. Then he fouls one off, And then there's another strike, and nobody, the pitcher, the catcher, the umpire, nobody, the announcers, nobody noticed that it was strike three.
Right.
Nobody. The pitcher was just like, okay, next pitch.
Well, they just had to have thought one of the pitches was called a ball.
Yeah.
There's no other way around it.
Yeah.
A pitcher, everyone's going to know what the count is.
Everybody.
Everyone's going to know what the count is.
The pitcher, I'm surprised, didn't go, hey, that's three strikes. Nobody knew, including Dusty. After the game, he said, I didn't notice. Did you know? He asked the reporter, did you notice?
No.
I didn't notice.
So clearly, it was a call where everyone thought one of the, you know, a call was a ball.
Right. Although it was a strike. I mean, you clearly called a strike. Then it was a foul ball, and then it was another strike. It was clear that it had happened. Never seen that before. Four strikes and an at bat. I guess it's happened. I think it might have happened.
I mean, I'm sure it's obviously happened in the past. You can't think of it.
No. All right. So, good game though. Well done. Get out of here with win. A win in, you don't want to get swept at home by the Red Sox. After being swept in Oakland, you don't want that crap. You got Cleveland tonight, and Verlander's going against Plesac. And then Verlander, Valdez, Garcia, and Javier. I'm sorry, Patrick. I'm just sorry. I'm so happy not to have Odorizzi in the rotation anymore. I just am. This rotation, every day you have a chance, and you're not going to – you figure, although,
honestly,
you know, guys have gotten lit up.
Look at the Vegas odds. If you pay attention to the Vegas odds, every day it's going to be – you know, Urquidy's going to be like a minus one. It depends on road or home, but, you know, anywhere from a 125 road to like a minus 160. That means 160 to win 100. And you got Javier's like minus 175 and just an average game at home. Verlander's going to be like minus 270. Fromber is going to be minus 200 into the high 190s, whatever the case may be. Odorizzi's like minus 125 at home. Like it's the way Vegas views Jake Odorizzi, because he was so hot or cold, and a lot of it depended on if he was playing a bad team. Yeah, it's. I always believe that Vegas tells no lies. People who are out there trying to keep themselves from losing money, they're going to give you as honest a representation as possible. And the numbers would tell you they wanted to avoid. Yeah, the numbers would tell you that Jake Odorizzi is not in the same. Although, I'll say that Luis Garcia, you know, to me, Luis Garcia is the clear fifth starter right now. Of the entire group, Luis Garcia is the fifth starter. So what happens now when Lance McCullers gets back? I think Lance McCullers, based on what he's done so far with Space Cowboys, that's going to be an interesting discussion. When we come back, I want to get into that a little bit, because I'm not sure that there's going to be some huge decision to be made with Luis Garcia or Christian Javier. I think the decision could be, hey, where's Lance McCullers right now? We'll talk about that when we come back. It's 7:30 right here on The Bench on ESPN 97.
And right now it's time to talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's John Clay Wolf and GiveMeTheVIN.com. It is the best way to sell your car, period, exclamation point. You're looking for the best way to get out of that vehicle, whatever it is. And, I don't know why you're selling it or what, but you can go armed. And if you want to go to the dealership, that's fine. But go in there armed with the knowledge of what your car is worth, what your truck is worth. And John Clay Wolf will give you that. And then you go over to the dealership and you go, nah, John Clay Wolf will give me more. And you can do the whole deal through your dealership, because there's tax implications for selling it. There's tax implications for buying your new car. And all of that can be combined. And John Clay Wolf does that all the time. He does the deal through the dealership and you get all of your money. And listen, why take less? I just don't get that. I don't understand why you would take less for your vehicle. So find out what it's worth first and foremost, and it only takes a couple of minutes. All you have to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Never coming near what you want.
He might be the GOAT. I saw a Michael McDonald t-shirt at Teespring.
I saw him last year when he came here.
Did you?
Yeah.
He's in so many. Obviously, you'll recognize the Michael McDonald.
He's the GOAT, did you just say?
Yeah.
The GOAT of what? That high-pitched voice or what?
The GOAT of all of music.
Michael McDonald is the GOAT of music.
Oh, yeah. Go find the amount of Google this, RJ. Go find Michael McDonald. Not collaborations exactly, but Michael McDonald songs or how many different songs he's in. See if you can find some and play little tidbits. He sings the hook on so many. You even had Regulators is based on... Michael McDonald's song.
You're just throwing goat around.
Okay.
Willy nilly.
Play Regulators for John and let him hear. You'll recognize this hook. It is one of the great bass hooks of all time. This is a rap song from the 90s, and listen to the hook that RJ's going to play. You'll recognize it from back in the day, and it's iconic to this day. A lot of people just don't know it as being Michael McDonald, and it was not Chicago. Doobie Brothers. It's a Michael McDonald song, if I remember correctly. Hang on. He's pulling it up right now.
Listen to this. Stop throwing the goat around.
Hold on, you hear this? You recognize this, right?
Yeah.
What is it? I keep forgetting, not in love anymore. Is this Regulate, though? Not instrumental. No, play the lyrics. Bring that up. I want you to hear this.
We can just do it.
I could do the rap lyrics to Regulate. You could not do it. They take that hook, they dress it up a little bit. Pour some out for Nate Dogg, of course. But listen to this. Listen to what this, and this rap song's great. It was under the Def Jam label back in the day. But listen to them take that hook, the Michael McDonald hook there, which is fantastic. And
that happens all the time with music. Is that you take old songs and you put?
But this is not just a sample. This is a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some search for the E, so I could get some phones rolling. Now here's Nate Dogg. You'll like it. Just hit the east side of the
LBC on a mission trying to find. Yeah, I like it. It's good.
Now listen to this part.
Are you searching what's up with 213? On 21
and Lewis. There's Nate Dogg. I mean, not Nate Dogg, but blanking out. Said what's up? Some brothers put some. So I said. See? Now all of a sudden, because there were these girls, they're in danger right now. Now listen to this part. Suckers are in his mix, John. Now he's getting robbed. He can't believe they're taking his wealth. They're going to rob him.
Well, it's a great story.
His Rolex.
No, it's a great story, and it might be.
Yeah, and it's robberies, and here comes, look, his homie's hemmed up, so Nate Dogg's going to come in there and lay these. Watch. He was going to lay them busters down. I think I'm going down. He can't believe he's in his own town. He's getting ready to be.
Can't believe that you're.
Yeah. He glances around. He's like, "This is can't believe this is happening." Then he sees Nate. Oh, Nate Dogg's about to make some bodies turn cold. That means
he's going to shoot him. I get that. Yeah.
So Warren G and Nate Dogg had to regulate. So they're regulators, aka.
So it's policing them. They're policing the streets, basically.
No.
They're policing the game.
No, Nate Dogg had to regulate the situation. The situation looked precarious, to say the least, for Warren G. And then Nate Dogg had to come over and regulate. Luckily, Nate Dogg was not in the same vicinity, or he would have been jacked as well. But luckily, he came in, had the straps, and everything was fine. But my point is, Michael McDonald, how good does Michael McDonald and
his look make that? That's all he did was have a beat that was used by other guys that wrote that song.
He comes in. I mean, do we need to pull up Steely Dan and hear the hook when Michael McDonald comes in there? Michael McDonald makes everything. Michael McDonald is like mustard. Is like cheese. He's like bacon. He makes everything better.
Did Lance find your Coors Light this morning? Michael McDonald, the GOAT?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Michael McDonald. I bet Nick Van Exel loves him too.
Hell yeah.
Oh my.
Yacht Rock.
Hell yeah. Captain and Tennille are the GOAT of all sailors and midshipmen ever.
Gilbert, anyway.
They kind of are.
Michael McDonald's like bacon. Everything's better when you put Michael McDonald in a hook. I mean, that's just a fact.
Hey, virgins, talk about the pervert. So
that's from
the league has decided. The league has decided that they are going, which is, was a lock. That Roger, here's the deal. Roger Goodell cannot lose here. Roger Goodell now is going to have a designee that is going to hear the. I'm not hearing it. Listen, it's, I'm not going to be judge, jury, and executioner. I'm not doing that. But the league is going to appeal, and we're going to send it over to here to appeal this decision by Sue Robinson because it's just not enough. And as a league, we cannot put up with this. Now you got to. Now you get to decide what it's going to be. And he can't look. He looks great doing this. He looks great, and the league looks better doing this as opposed to just accepting the six games because the six games is being crushed.
Well, can I just tell you what happened? We just heard it. It goes like this: NFL and Roger G had to regulate. That's what he's getting ready to do. So take what we just heard, and Roger is now going to regulate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? His homie's hemmed up, and his homie in this instance is probably the NFL, I guess. And so now Roger G had to regulate. And so he's going to come in and lay them busters down if you want to know what's going to happen.
You're going to make them cold?
Yeah, he's going to.
He's going to make Deshaun cold?
Make them bodies turn cold of Andrew Berry
and
Jim Haslam and not Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett has new life, potentially.
No,
what do you think this goes to? I'll be honest with you. I know everyone's thinking it's going to be indefinite a year. I think that you're going to see a situation where it's not a year. I think it's going to go to eight games.
So
that's going to be my prediction.
So we've been mentioning all kinds of different. We've been mentioning Calvin Ridley. We've been mentioning Ben Roethlisberger's his suspension. We've been mentioning Ray Rice. All of these suspensions. Do you know who got eight games? You know who got an eight game suspension?
Hendricks.
Michael Kendricks.
I mean Kendricks, yeah, for insider trading.
Insider trading. So insider trading is more harmful to the NFL than Deshaun Watson.
Now wait a minute. No. I think it's important you say the timeline of when it happened was after Zeke. The NFL has already created new. This argument, I mean, it drives me crazy about, what about Ben and Robert Kraft? Okay, that means you're making a racial argument. I get it. What about what about Ezekiel Elliott? Okay, now you're trying to make a precedent argument. I know your codes. I know everyone's code. You know, when you point to a certain player, I know what your code is. Here is the issue. The issue is the NFL, since 2010 or whatever year you want to go back to, they don't want to operate like that. They want to move forward the same way the Me Too movement in our society has moved forward, right. The same way the certain elements of social justice have moved forward, no matter how long it took. The NFL says, I think the NFL doesn't say it out loud, but what they're telling you is, we've gotten some things wrong. We don't want to keep getting it wrong.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And here's the thing, too, is the reason that they're – listen, it's good optics for them to appeal. It's great optics for them to appeal. And it's also great optics for Deshaun to get more than this. Because it's the level of tarnishing the shield. And I don't know that anyone has done – Greg Hardy, you could argue.
Ezekiel,
Ben Roethlisberger, that was bad. I mean,
well, Greg Hardy's wasn't as high
rape accusation.
This is a quarterback. This is when you use the term face of the franchise. It's a really big deal when the guy is the highest paid at his position, when he is a quarterback, a national champion in college. Like, know this more than they know Josh Brown or Greg Hardy or Chad Wheeler or any of these other guys.
And the level of tarnish is and by the way, he was rewarded for his behavior. He was rewarded for not playing for the Texans, for demanding a trade, for all the stuff that went on. They gave him the biggest, most guaranteed money in NFL history.
And the Texans, by the way, had to finance it. The Texans signing bonus financed it. I talked to a trial lawyer who believes that Rusty made in excess of 12 in the neighborhood of, based on the billable hours, and his estimation was going to be somewhere between anywhere from 12 to 20 million. He thinks 20 would be on the high end, but he still thinks it's possible because of the amount of man hours needed for it. But he thinks 12 to 15, that's before you get to the payouts. The Texans basically paid out I love how people say about why in the league gone to the Texans. The Texans literally got Deshaun Watson because he wasn't 25. You have to be 25 years old, I guess, to get a
membership.
A membership to the Houstonian. The Texans helped him get a membership to the Houstonian. That is not what people are arguing, is that the Texans basically were pimping girls out to Deshaun. Yeah, like,
no.
Here, let us help you get your girls. You need a towel? That's not what happened. They got him a membership. Now, I do think it's very valid to say, what about the NDA thing? I think that's valid to follow up on that with the director of security and all that stuff. But but the argument is Deshaun is a one-time offender, so he shouldn't. But
one-time
Tom Pelissero
offender.
Said he was a multi-offender.
Oh, serial.
Well, no,
serial offender.
But this is his first time that he's been in trouble with the league. The problem with that argument, Tom Pelissero said, is that he's in trouble for multiple independent things.
Right,
one of them is moral turpitude. One of them is COVID, beating COVID restrictions. I can't remember what the third one, but he said there's three different things, basically. So that eliminates the first time thing, because he's a multiple different issues or what Deshaun broke. You know me. I mean, I want a good pick for the Texans.
That's what
Let's just be real about it. I also do think, though, being objective, that the league does have a potential issue here by basically overruling Sue Robinson. But the problem is with continuing down that path, as Sue Robinson said, I think Deshaun has major problems. I think he's guilty of these things that you guys said. She basically said, I don't want to get involved with setting new precedent. And the league was hoping she would be willing to set new precedent. But the league set new precedent with Kendricks at 8 games, is something that we hadn't seen. The league set major precedents 2 days ago when Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, caught a $1.5 million fine. They lost a first and a third, and Stephen Ross was suspended. That, I thought, John, gave the NFL, once they put that out there, that gives the NFL a new precedent that they had just set for an owner, so that they kind of eliminate the Kraft thing, the argument, by saying, what about Stephen Ross? Look at what he just said.
Yeah, look what he got.
It's pretty penal. Now, as you move forward, you always have the Stephen Ross in your background. It's helpful.
The timing of the Stephen Ross thing is
it's
tremendous.
Helpful.
746 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk a little bit about Coors Light. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I don't know. Do you think I had any yesterday? Of course I did. And here's the deal, people. I'm going out and about. If you see me out and about, I'm going to buy you a Coors Light. I have got the go-ahead to buy 975 Coors Lights for people. So if you see me out and about, you tell me, hey, John, I need a Coors Light, and I'm buying it. I'm buying it for you, okay? This is happening throughout the city of Houston. So if you see me out, hey, buy me a Coors Light. Hey, Granado, buy me a Coors Light. Yes, sir. I certainly will, because I got the go-ahead for 975. These are my peeps, okay? And listen, you don't think? Of course you're going to love me, because I'm buying you Coors Lights. Well, no matter where we are, what we're doing, it's time for Coors Light. And, my people, I'm buying. So if you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, you're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, and you want to keep Texas chill, Coors Light, baby. Come see me.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, look, now that I've got your attention, peep game. Ooh. If he was whack and you came up with some paper, he's still lame.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Something we didn't get to yesterday. Have you seen Lamar Jackson?
Why?
He's put on 25 pounds.
I didn't notice.
He's 25 pounds heavier.
I didn't notice that.
You know how hard it is to put 25 pounds on?
Are you sure?
Is
that what people are saying? I saw him throwing in practice the other day. I did not. That's not the first thing that popped up.
Look at how big.
Oh, you know, his arms do look a little
thicker.
His
arms are big, man. He is big.
Dude, Lamar's 230? Lamar Jackson said he went from 205 to 230. That can't just be like bad. I assume he's doing that intentionally to prevent injury. That is not smart. you're taking away you're potentially taking away your quickness. That's the thing that makes you.
That's the key. Does this
have a positive impact on your passing?
I don't see how. Well,
by being 25 pounds heavier.
Listen, when you lift, sometimes you can throw.
But
back.
They say you also can get too tight. Yes, like Donald Hollis when he was.
But he doesn't look tight. Look at him. I mean, you can see him in practice. He's still letting it go.
That's why I question whether he's 230. But I mean, I'm sure if he did it on purpose, it's to withstand the rigors of the position. I'm not sure that's really smart, though. I think the best way to withstand the rigors is to get rid of the ball on time.
And not take hits.
Yeah. And the best way to not take hits is be the most elite athlete that the position's ever seen. And that's who he is. So, you know, get up to 215. Yeah, that would make some sense. 230 feels like too much. But I know he's still going to be fast, but it's going to be interesting to see how he moves around. Or if he can keep that weight on. Wow, that's interesting. 230. When I saw him the other day in practice, that didn't even come to my head. I didn't even think about him looking that big. I would think that a 230-pound Lamar Jackson would pop off the screen at me.
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is that, man, he is bigger, and I agree with you. I don't think it's the best thing that he could possibly do. So, Nick Caserio. We're going to talk a little bit about, listen, the Texans are getting a lot of love all of a sudden around. You notice that?
Yeah.
And Davis Mills is starting to, people are starting to go, hey, wait a minute. Maybe we missed something this offseason on Davis Mills.
That's what it feels like.
There is no question. He has looked great. I just read the article about his practice yesterday. 11 of 14. He threw a couple of balls, one that was tipped and it was picked off. But he has been a leader. He has looked crisp. He's looked great. He and Brandon Cooks are on the same page, looking really, really good. Everything about it, there's a lot of positive. It's practice. And that's why, you know, there should be a lot of positivity coming out of camp. Always should be, right? Hey, that guy looks good. Well, there's not a lot of positivity everywhere. I mean, apparently Mitchell Trubisky is having a really rough time. there are some guys around the league that are not that aren't having the best of camps. But according to everybody, Davis Mills looks really good. Here's Nick Caserio talking about drafting Davis.
You know, we knew we were going to add a quarterback to the team regardless. You know, we had Ty here. We were dealing with the Deshaun situation. So we knew at some point we were going to add a quarterback. And really, you just go through the process, you evaluate the players, you assign a grade, and then you try to make the right decision that you feel makes the most sense. So in Davis's situation, you know, we had spent some time with him. He actually, his workout, when you go back and watch his workout, it was kind of interesting. So it was kind of that steady rain, the kind of what happens out there in Palo Alto in the spring was 50 degrees, and he really didn't blink an eye. He just kind of went through his process, and he actually had a fairly productive day throwing the football. So kind of speaks to his personality here a little bit. So, you know, he had some injuries that he had to deal with at Stanford. But, you know, we had some relationship with some folks out there. You know, Coach Shaw, you know, Pep was here, you know, at the time as well. So it was a situation where when we went through the process, when we looked up at the board, we thought, you know what, all right, this is a player that we have some degree of conviction on. And you really, look, no one's going to sit here and tell you know exactly how things are going to work out. I mean, I'd be ignorant to sit here and tell you that.
Yeah, you don't know how good it's going to be. But it's the best case scenario right now. Best case. And I really believe, and I put my money where my mouth is, that the Texans are the best. Over 4.5 is the best bet on the board.
On the board?
On the board.
Well, that's where you get the easy value is if you miss on a team, like, if Vegas misses on a team, if they don't adjust quickly enough, it's a lot harder to, you know, to go from 10 wins to 8 wins. It's harder to get there mentally, you know, if you're for a player or for Vegas, they don't like to. But when it comes to 4, I mean, you saw what happened with the Bengals. The Bengals literally went to a Super Bowl. Those are extenuating circumstances. You have Joe Burrow coming back and things like that. But it's not that crazy for a team to go from 4 wins to 8 wins, and that's a 4 win. That's doubling your win total. If the Texans get to 6 wins, that's something that could happen by, you know, week 14. You could be a winner on that prop bet early on. The whole key to getting to, yeah, they don't even have to play great to get to 5
wins. They got 4, and they were crappy.
Yeah, they're a better team this year.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. The second year you have your quarterback, you have better running backs, a healthier offensive line, you have better defensive players in place and a legitimate NFL coach in place. And your numbers basically the same as what it was last year? No, I don't see that. I think you have to make the number prop. You're right. Maybe Vegas can't make it more than 4.5, but the real number feels like it should be closer to 5, 5.5. It may not seem like a lot, but
now that would be a little scary.
5.5 sounds a lot scarier because now you got to get to 6. I think 5.5 under would be the favorite, you know, where you lands on 5, 5.5, you'd say, okay, oh, -130 under, +110 over. But 4.5, you can say to yourself, one more win than last year? I mean, most things did not go right for them last year, and they still found 4 wins. So, yeah, I think that's doable.
We heard Greg Cosell talking about Davis Mills. We've heard other people. Who else was singing the praises?
Michael Lombardi recently on
Michael
our
Lombardi
show.
Was with us, and he really likes Davis Mills as well. James Palmer of the NFL Network on Davis Mills.
Well, guys, I'm down here with Davis Mills, who the Houston Texans would really want to take a deep look at throughout camp, throughout all of this season, to see if he is going to be their guy, because they have, as we know it, a lot of draft capital after that Deshaun Watson trade that they can use to surround Mills if he ends up being the guy. They do love the way he finished the past season. Those final 10 games, he was playing as good as any, really, rookie quarterback in the league, and you could make the argument that it was either him or Mac Jones that had the best rookie season, and this guy was taken in the 3rd round, so it's an advantage for the Houston Texans. He's very comfortable in Pep Hamilton's system. Yesterday, I watched all of practice, had a chance to watch him run a length of the field, 2-minute drill, end-of-game scenario. Completed a 4th-and-16 pass to Chris Conley, then hit Brevin Jordan, the tight end, up the seam. Kristen Kirksey, their linebacker, was in coverage on that play. I talked to him after practice. He said that was an unbelievable throw that Davis Mills had. He told me he is the unquestioned leader of this team. They expect him to make a big jump in Pep Hamilton's offense. We'll see if it happens, because if it does, that sets these Texans up moving forward in a very, very good spot.
Yep, that is James Palmer on the NFL Network. I mean, people, listen, and he went on to say that Kristen Kirksey is a star linebacker, which we had a text stream that really appreciated.
I didn't see it.
Is there any lie there?
Did you hear it? No? Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Then
I didn't hear it.
But he actually said that.
Well, apparently he did say it, and I'm going to agree with him. Okay, Kristen Kirksey is a star. Okay, so there, person with the hater.
I'm not
you
dying
hater.
On the Kristen Kirksey ill, and not publicly. Of course, I'll say stuff to Dell just fun and games. I don't actually have my name on it.
759 ESPN.
By the way.
Kristen Kirksey is a star.
In football,
that's how I'm referring to him from now on. Linebacker.
What is our quarterback's name in for the Houston Texans? What is our quarterback's name?
Davis Mills.
If he were a baseball player, who would he be known as?
Millsy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In baseball, everything's more folksy. When you play 162, right. He's not Davis Mills. You knew right away. I didn't have to code you.
No.
Or I didn't have to. I didn't tell you that. He's Millsy. Everyone knows in baseball he's Millsy.
Yeah.
In football, where you have 17 games, that's Davis Mills.
Yeah. Well, didn't he? Well, he's actually been kind of funny. He said his mom told him, go get a turtleneck endorsement.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
I mean, obviously, if you got a long ass neck.
He knows he's got a long
neck. Your mom has been talking about you having long. They were ranking on you in that's an older term, ranking on you. Dozens, whatever. You were getting cut on in junior high by kids. And here's another thing with your big long ass neck. Yeah. Now he didn't go to Richmond Rosenberg schools like I did.
Right. When you're getting a pump, is this what happened when you're getting a pump?
No, but they would come after me, so I had to come after them. You have to be ready to you have to be ready to go. It's the dozens. It's ranking.
Self deprecating is nice. It's
now
good.
He grew up with just you know, in a fancy private school. He didn't hear all the neck stuff. He didn't hear people chopping on his neck.
Oh, I'm sure his boys gave him the neck thing. Are you kidding
me? You had to have gotten it at least by college.
Oh, no. It's probably his nickname, the neck. Come on. It's got to be. You can't miss this. You just can't miss that neck. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care how nice you are. You go, that dude's got a long neck. All right. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. Anything we've talked about so far or more, you're more than welcome. We'll get back to the Astros on the other side. But first, let's talk a little HRNP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. As a matter of fact, I was working with them yesterday and getting stuff done. And here's the deal with HRNP is you get your stuff done at your work. You don't worry about payroll. You don't worry about HR. You don't worry about your taxes. You don't worry about the Affordable Care Act because they do all the worry. They take all the worry out of all that stuff. Your payroll is going to be done perfectly. Your HR is going to be done wonderfully. I'm hearing the other companies and what they talk about, and HRNP talks about payroll and they talk about HR. And, oh, by the way, they do your taxes for you as well. But they're not doing the benefits packages. They're not trying to gouge you. They're not killing you on those, on your insurance packages. That's where the other companies are really making it. That's where they're making their bucks on that. Look over here. Our payroll is so cheap. And then they kill you on the benefits packages. That's not the way they do business at HRNP. They do it with integrity, and they do it perfectly every single time. You're looking for that payroll company that's going to be perfect for you, customized for you, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.